Radio Broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Revelation, and we're in chapter 12. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. The Bible says of these seven heads, which are seven mountains, where the woman sits, there are seven kings. Five are fallen, one is. John is writing under the Roman Empire. So that's six. The seventh is the revived Roman Empire, yet to come. So I'm unpacking this as a preview. So I'm not going to drill into it to convince you. I'm just telling you, okay? This stuff is amazing, okay? This is God saying, I know what's coming, and I'm going to allow it to come because, number one, I am not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He knows some will not be saved, but he's willing for that in order to get the people who would be saved. Some people will not be saved. They say, I want nothing to do with it. The Bible calls them the disobedient. And when the Bible talks about being disobedient, the Greek word has the idea of being impersuasible. You couldn't persuade them if you had to because they've gone dark and they enjoy darkness and they get darker and darker. And they'll come at you with evolution. They'll come at you with science, falsely so called. Are we not living in a crazy day? The Secretary of the Health and Human Services is a man who dresses as a woman, and he is very much overweight to the point where what he's doing is he's saying, I'm for the health and for the science. So I'm a girl. Wait a minute. No, you're not. You're a man. Science. They don't want science. My point being very clear that what we're living in is a world that is on its ear. And the world will lie, and they will cheat, they will steal, and they will tell you a lie over and over again. It's why your news isn't telling you what's really going on in various parts of the country with regard to the election and other things. They don't want you to be thinking about it. They want you to think about other things. The Bible says in verse 11 of Revelation 17, it says, and the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth, and he is of the seven. He's of the seven empires. But he's the eighth because he's so significant, he's his own kind of thing. He's like a person the whole world revolves around in himself. When Antiochus Epiphanes was on the earth, he was known as the kind of prefigurement because he was the one that took a pig and offered it on an altar and desecrated the temple. This is where we get Hanukkah, right? Hanukkah that was desecrated, they had to cleanse it. They had a little bit of oil and they wanted to get it for 7 or 8 days, but they couldn't because they only had a little bit of oil, but it lasted for the full amount of time because God did a miracle to help cleanse that temple. Hanukkah, that's why that Feast of Lights. And so what I'm telling you is he was a prefigurement, but the whole world didn't get behind him. This beast right here, everybody's going to get behind him, and he's going to be so unique that he's going to be called the eighth, and the Bible says that he is of the seven. He will go straight into perdition. He will be one who will go directly into the lake of fire. In fact, the beast and the false prophet are the first people to go directly to the lake of fire. They don't go to the great white throne. They go right to the lake of fire. The only the first one is doing. The great white throne is going to be 1,000 years later. These guys go straight in. I'm going to go away from this now for a minute. But I wanted you to see that these things in verse 3, they're all powerful. They're all informative. They inform your faith. If your faith is informed right now, beloved, you will bless the Lord in your soul. You will be singing hallelujah as Rome burns. You will know that Jesus is just over yonder. He's just beyond the veil. You will know that it'll be okay to go forward and live your life and love on Jesus and witness for Him, in spite of the fact that your ministry may turn into a prison ministry. So what we're looking at is we're looking at God telling us very clearly about this. There was a wonder in heaven, and it was a dragon. And the dragon owned all this stuff. He owns the beast. He owns the false prophet. He owns all those empires that all wanted to destroy Israel and subjugate Israel and represent the bulk of the time of the Gentiles from Babylon forward after the Israelites had lost their freedom to be an empire at all in those days. Verse 4 says, not only did he own all those things on earth, but in heaven it says, with his tail he drew a third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. This is where we see that the devil does have a demonic host. We looked at chapter 5 where there was an innumerable, it was 10,000 times 10,000, thousands or whatever. And that's how many angels were worshiping God in the throne room. And it says that the devil got a third of them to follow him. A fascinating thing about the word dragon is the word dragon is made up of a word that means to fascinate. You can't look away. That's why he's a wonder. I'm telling you guys, you think the devil's a little guy in a red suit with horns? That ain't him. That's Pan. That's the pagan religion. Jesus is God. The devil is a poser, and he wants to make you think it's Jesus and God are equal, and they're having an arm wrestling match. They're not having an arm wrestling match. When it comes down to it, the Bible says that this demon, he actually, with his tail, drew the stars of heaven, and he cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, back to the earlier story, because this is a greater story, a larger narrative. He says he stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a male child who was to rule all the nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up into heaven. By the way, that's a rapture. That's one of them. There's a lot of raptures in the Bible. Jesus ascended before the disciples in Acts chapter 1. And in some of the Gospels, it points out that as he was going up into heaven, the cloud received him out of their sight. Enoch walked with God. He was not. That's a rapture. Philip was caught away. There's a lot of raptures in the Bible. So don't let anybody tell you the rapture is kind of not really found in the Bible. It's all over the place. Okay? You just got to be paying attention. And the Bible says here, it says he was trying to catch the child, but he couldn't. And then Jesus, of course, had his ministry. He was 33 years old, roughly, when he was actually crucified. Think about that. It's not a lot of years, right? But that's a crazy... Jesus was 33, and look what he did. He changed the world. He changed the world, and he only had a three-year ministry. So let's just really put a fine point on it, right? He was laying in obscurity for all those years. And he grew in favor with God and with man. He was always awesome. I say to you that this devil wanted to take Jesus out because he knew who he was. Herod was his first tool, but he was constantly trying to solicit Jesus into some kind of destruction and compromise. Verse 5 says, she brought forth a man-child who was to rule, and he was caught up to God and to his throne. And the woman fled, and this is where we jump from the times of the nativity to the times of the tribulation. And the woman fled into the wilderness where she had a place prepared of God for her that they should feed her there. Look at this. 1,260 days. So that's how we know he just jumped all the way from the nativity to the tribulation. Because he's just told us that the witnesses in chapter 11 are going to be witnessing for 1,260 days. And he calls it 42 months. And in this chapter, he's going to call it a time and a half of times down in here. This is the 3.5 years that are before us of the tribulation. And Israel is going to be open to the Antichrist for the first 3.5. But when he goes into the temple and sits down on top of the Ark of the Covenant and says, hey, I'm God. I got this. This is pretty cool. And he grabs that image of the angel on the Ark and he shakes it. And he's like, oh, this is pretty cool. You can almost see him and say, this is the Ark, right? This is where God's manifest presence was, right? That's pretty cool. Boom. And you can see the Jews just saying, what? Wait, what? Stone? No. But nobody will tell the Antichrist no. Nobody will turn his head back. Nobody will be able to tell him anything. Because he's been the problem solver all along. The Bible says in verse 4 that his tail drew a third part of the stars from heaven and threw them to the earth. Now, when it says in verse 6 that the woman fled, I'm just going to leave alone who the devil is and giving you his backstory. Verse 6 says the woman fled into the wilderness and God had prepared a place for her for 1,260 days. Now, it says that she fled into the wilderness. And she does this because when she realizes, when Israel realizes that the Antichrist cannot be trusted, what I told you about the canary in the mine, I mean, we're really looking at some stuff today. Stuff that is just totally creepy, I mean, to the nth degree. Okay? We're living in some really serious times. This world has never been globally assaulted like it is right now. This has never happened before. We've never been able to have a time where everybody could be put on a digital-type currency. If you just get people scared that they're going to get something from handling the dollar bills, you've got an argument for getting rid of money. And you've got a world where they're ramping up the money problems to the tune of $2 trillion here, $2 trillion there, $2 trillion there. It took us 1 year to increase our debt in this country. It took us 1 year to increase it by 40%. It took us the 200 balance of 240 some years to get to the place where we had the debt we had in 2020. And from that debt, we increased it by 40% in 1 year. It's a Jenga pile. And your money's not going to be worth anything just over yonder. When that happens, there has to be something that happens. And we already know that it can be done. Don't worry about plugging your card in. Tap it. And some people actually have chips that are in certain countries where they have no cash. I think it's Sweden. They've gone cashless a while ago. We're living in those times where this all can be had, have this take place. Everything's digital. Many of you get your checks through a direct electronic transfer. We're basically cashless. Many people don't carry any cash at all in their pocket. Well, the Bible says that we're living in these days where in 3 score days, she's going to be hiding out. Now, he's going to come back to her in a minute, but at this point, just know that he just told you we're back in the real time here of the tribulation. If you're reading this in the tribulation, you're back in it right now. It just jumped from the nativity and Christmas time to the last days when Israel's going to be under persecution in a big way. Bible says in verse 7, and there was war in heaven. Michael and his archangels. Notice Jesus is not here. This is Michael. Michael's name means who is like God. What was it that the devil said? I will be like God. So God actually has an angel to answer that. I'll show you. Who is like God? You got nothing, man. And even in the book of Jude, where the Bible says that the archangel Michael would not clash, cross swords with the devil at that time, but said just simply, the Lord rebuke you. Here he's given a green light. He's told, you go get him, boy. I know you've been wanting to. And you know, just let me at him. Let me at him, you know. And he's let go. And the Bible says, and Michael made war with the, Michael and his angels fought against the devil, the dragon and his angels. And the dragon prevailed not in verse 8. And the Bible says in verse 9 that the dragon was cast out. He gave you all those names. He was cast out. And the Bible says in verse 10, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation. You say, wasn't there salvation before that? Yeah, there was. Salvation before that was that we get saved and we're sealed. And that's an absolute guarantee we're going. But the Bible talks in Romans about the day when our full redemption is realized. It says this in Romans 8:22. It says, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travails in pain together until now. And not only creation, but ourselves also are groaning, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, which isn't leaving. It says, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption. And it says, that is the redemption of our body. For we are saved in hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? He says, but if we hope for that which we have seen not, then we wait with patience for it. You and I, we understand, right? I mean, I hope you do. If we died today, if before the Lord comes and before he's come for his church in the air to get the dead in Christ, if we died today, we will one day come back for our bodies. We're leaving our body behind, but we're coming back for our bodies. The Bible says the dead in Christ will rise first. And then we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord will be caught up with them in the air. You say, well, why is that? Well, because God don't waste anything. He loves you. You're His. Everything about you. He loves everything about you. Okay, isn't that cool? And He's going to come back. He's going to get the body. And He's going to do it also. Listen, because that's what God does. He always brings a testimony that is irrefutable. And when they go look at the graves of Grandma and Grandpa, those people who were left behind, knowing Grandpa was a preacher, and he's gone. Grandma, she loved Jesus. She's gone. Everybody's going to get a manifold witness because God wants people to come to salvation. Chapter 9 at the end, it says, after all the things God did in the trumpet judgments, they still wouldn't repent. Last two verses of chapter 9. They still would not repent.
Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies, and we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.